Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning. This is Pastor Juliet Schimpf speaking, and I'd like to welcome you to Good News in the Morning. Thank you for joining us today. Our broadcast is sponsored through the generous support of Sandy Davidson, who would like to salute Christian Counseling Ottawa, an organization that has been healing hearts and homes in Ottawa for close to 40 years. Friends, thank you for joining us. And I want to quickly promote something coming up very soon, and that is on Saturday, the 14th of November, from noon until 2 o'clock, Reverend John Council is coming to speak to a fundraiser for Good News Christian Ministries. And it's taking place at St. Timothy's Presbyterian Church. Again, that's Saturday, the 14th of November. John Council is worth hearing, so come join us. More details are located at our website on www.gncm.ca. Well, I trust today's broadcast finds you well, and we're ready now to dive into God's Word. We're going to be looking today at one of the churches in Revelation. As you know, seven churches appear in the book of Revelation, and we're going to be looking at the Church of Philadelphia. Let me open with a quote by C.T. Studd. Christ wants not nibblers of the possible, but grabbers of the impossible. Let me say that again. Christ wants not nibblers of the possible, but grabbers of the impossible. That, my friends, describes the church in Philadelphia. It was a grabber of the impossible. Now, of the seven churches in the book of Revelation, only two receive 100% praise, and Philadelphia is one of them. It received no criticism at all in the letter addressed to it. The name of Philadelphia means brotherly love, and this town was founded by a king, namely Adelus II, and he was known as Philadelphus because he loved his brother deeply. The town itself was situated in a strategic place on the main route of the imperial post from Rome to the east, and thus it was called the Gateway to the East. It was situated where the borders of Mysia, Lydia, and Phrygia met. So it was a border town, and it was founded with the deliberate intention that it might be a missionary of Greek culture and Greek language to Lydia and Phrygia. Now, it did its work so well in exporting Greek culture that by AD 19, the Lydians had forgotten their own Lydian language and were all but Greeks. All right, one last thing to say about this town, Philadelphia. It was known as Little Athens because it had so many gods. But in the midst of this town, founded to export Greek culture, was a faithful Christian community. And I want to read to you a letter that was written to them. I'm reading from Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verse 7. The message to the church in Philadelphia, Revelation 3, verse 7. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. This is the message from the one who is holy and true, the one who has the key of David, What he opens, no one can close, and what he closes, no one can open. Verse 8, I know all the things you do, and I have opened a door for you that no one can close. You have little strength, yet you obeyed my word and did not deny me. Look, I will force those who belong to Satan's synagogue, those liars who say they are Jews but are not, to come and bow down at your feet. They will acknowledge that you are the ones I love. Verse 10. Because you have obeyed my command to persevere, I will protect you from the great time of testing that will come upon the whole world to test those who belong to this world. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown. Verse 12, all who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of my God, and they will never have to leave it. And I will write on them the name of my God, and they will be citizens in the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. All right, we're going to unpack these verses in a few moments, but first we're going to pause and listen to a hymn that you know well, namely, Above All, by Michael W. Smith.
Above all kingdoms,
Welcome back to Good News in the Morning. This is Pastor Juliette Schimpf speaking, and we're looking at Revelation 3, namely the message to the church in Philadelphia. And we're going to see that this little church in Philadelphia was very faithful. We're going to look at three things in particular in the text of Revelation 3, namely a giant obstacle, a golden opportunity, and a glorious outcome. Let me say that again. A giant obstacle, a golden opportunity, and a glorious outcome. Let's start with a giant obstacle. Friends, the church in Philadelphia faced a giant obstacle. First, I want to highlight that in this valley, the valley where Philadelphia was situated, were vineyards that were lush and full, and these vineyards were the backbone of the economy. They were so good that they competed with the vineyards in Rome. And by the way, it's no coincidence that the god of wine, Dionysius, was worshipped throughout Philadelphia. Now, the valley and its vineyards were so lush that the emperor Domitian said to Philadelphia, "Tear down your vineyards so that ours in Rome can be the front edge of commerce." And when he did that, when he commanded that all the vineyards be torn down, he broke the backbone of their economy. And so the citizens of Philadelphia felt deeply betrayed. This is the context behind verse 7 of Revelation 3. Verse 7 says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of the Holy One, the true One." And the reason that the verse starts out this way, Holy One and true One, is that the word true really means faithful. And so what the writer is saying here, or what the verse is saying, is I know you Christians in Philadelphia feel betrayed by the emperor. You feel betrayed that he tore down your vineyards. And you can't trust him. And he hasn't been faithful to you. But I am faithful. And I will not neglect you, for I am God. I am not like Emperor Dionysius. I am faithful and true. I am holy in that I am totally other and different. Translation, Jesus is saying quite simply in this first verse, 7, that you can count on me. And the world may have let you down, but you can count on me. Listener, this is relevant to us in 2015 as much as it was to Philadelphia then. Perhaps your spouse has left you, or your boss has fired you, or your neighbor has upset you, or your relative has disowned you. Well, listen carefully. Jesus' voice is piercing through, and he's saying, the world has abandoned you. The world has been unfair to you, but you can count on me. Now, look at verse 8. Jesus carries on. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and not denied my name. What's going on here? Well, I told you that the church was facing an obstacle. One of its obstacles was that its vineyards were struck down. Another obstacle is that it lacked strength, says verse 8. It was a small church with a very small budget. Apparently, it was not a large or a prominent church. But look at the fact that it was faithful and they were true to God's word. You know, Wiersbe says, and he's a famous commentator, it is not the size or strength of a church that determines its ministry, but faith in the call and command of the Lord. God's commandments are God's enablements. And if Jesus Christ gave them an open door, then he would see to it that they would be able to walk through it. And Hudson Taylor goes on to say, God uses men who are weak and feeble enough to lean on him. Well, that's the Church of Philadelphia, friends. It lacked strength, said verse 8, and yet it kept God's word. So there was a giant obstacle. Next, the passage goes on to explain that the church faced a golden opportunity. Listen to what verse 8 says. I know all the things you do, and I have opened a door for you that no one can close. Listen to that golden opportunity, friends. The church in Philadelphia was facing a golden opportunity despite the giant obstacles in its midst. This church was very good at seeing the glass as half full, not half empty, and they seized this golden opportunity. But what exactly is it? Well, let me try to explain. First of all, some context. To understand this verse, we need to appreciate that the Jews who had been persecuted had fled throughout Asia Minor and had established synagogues throughout the region. And the early Christians would have met in those synagogues. But the Christians had gradually been kicked out of the synagogues, and the doors had been slammed shut behind them. You see, the Christians proclaimed the resurrection of Christ and claimed Jesus to be the true Messiah. And this is what forced the Jews to exclude them from their synagogues. This was very significant because it meant not only that the door was shut to them from the synagogues, but it meant that the Christians were cut off and alienated from family and friends. The synagogue was the center of the social life. And the Christians, as a result, suffered tremendous shame. So what would happen is that the Christians would knock on the doors of the synagogues, and someone would look through the people and say, no, you cannot enter. But you see, Jesus Christ is saying clearly in verse 8, I, Jesus Christ, have opened a door for you. This, my friends, is the golden opportunity facing the church in Philadelphia. And listen to what Winston Churchill has to say about opportunities. He says, a pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity, and an optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty. When Jesus Christ says that I have opened a door for you that no one can close, by door he means something unlike a physical door. He means really the opportunity to evangelize. And we see that the word door is used in terms of evangelism throughout the scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, we hear of a great door for effective work was open to Paul. Yet there were many who opposed him. We hear in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 12, Paul saying, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, I found that the Lord had opened a door for me. And in Colossians 4, 3, Paul writes, pray for us that God may open a door for our message. And so a door is referring to the passageway for evangelism. John Stott writes, let us go in through the door of salvation and out through the door of service. Let us go in through the door of salvation and out through the door of service. So Jesus Christ is saying to this weak and feeble church in Philadelphia, who had been kicked out of the synagogues and who had lost its vineyards to the emperor, I've opened a door for you. And this church, friends, seized that opportunity. It seized it well. It lived out what Wiersbe says, which is this. Unbelief sees the obstacles, but faith sees the opportunities. And since the Lord holds the keys, he is in control of the outcome. So what do we have to fear? Nobody can close the doors as long as he keeps them open. Did you catch that, friends? Unbelief sees the obstacles and faith sees the opportunities. Well, the church in Philadelphia became a sending or a missionary church. And there was something that helped it in this, namely the Pax Romana. The Pax Romana permitted Christian evangelists to go about their business with great freedom, speaking the common Greek language and treading the fine Roman roads and using as their textbook the Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the Old Testament. And this little church in Philadelphia started churches as far away as India. Some of the very first church plants in India came from the church in Philadelphia. And this would go on for 1,200 years. For 1,200 years, the church in Philadelphia stayed true to its missional objectives. And earthquakes would hit this church, and it would fall to the ground, and they would come out and rebuild it for 1,200 years. Yes, although they faced obstacles, friends, they also seized a golden opportunity. We're going to pause for a moment and listen to a song entitled Everything by Tim Hughes. And when we come back, we'll look at the glorious outcome of the Philadelphia Church.
God in my living, there in my breathing, God in my waking, God in my sleeping, God in my resting, there in my working, God in my thinking, God in my speaking. Be my everything, be my everything, be my everything, be my everything. God in my hoping, there in my dreaming, God in my watching, God in my God in my hurting, God in my healing, be my everything, be my everything, be my everything, be my everything. Christ in me, Christ in me, Christ in me, the whole. Christ in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory, be my everything, 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 be my everything.
Welcome back to Good News in the Morning. We've been looking at the church in Philadelphia, and it's been inspiring. We've seen that it faced a giant obstacle, but it seized a golden opportunity, and now in closing, we will see that it experienced a glorious outcome. In verse 10 of Revelation 3, the scripture reads, "Because you, O Church of Philadelphia, have obeyed my command to persevere, I will protect you from the great time of testing." And then, in verse 12, the text goes on to state, "All who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of my God, and they will never have to leave it. And I will write on them the name of my God, and they will be citizens in the city of God." What's going on here? Well, basically, it's no accident that the text refers to writing names on pillars. You see, pillars were symbols of power, and it was very common in the ancient cities for great leaders to be honored by having their names inscribed on the pillars of the city. Now, God's pillars are not made of stone, because there is no temple in the heavenly city, according to Revelation 21:22. His pillars are actually faithful people who bear his name for his glory. See Galatians 2:9 for reference. What is happening here is that God is saying that I am writing my name on you, O church in Philadelphia. I am writing my name on you because you have kept my word and you have been patient in endurance. You know, Mike Stachura says, "The mark of a great church is not its seating capacity, but its sending capacity." Not its seating capacity, but its sending capacity. And that is Philadelphia to a T. This little church was faithful in sending out evangelists. And it is an example to us today. No matter the size of your church, you can be salt and light to the community you're in. John Stott puts it this way, "Christ has the keys. He will open the doors. We must wait on him to make openings for us." Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word, which is a light unto our feet. And we pray that you will help us. If you open the door, we will work. And if you shut a door, we will wait. But above all, help us to be faithful to you and to see opportunities and not obstacles. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580.